Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an interview with the Director of Communications for SQL Server, Ilya Buchstein. Ilya, thank you for being with us today.
Stephen, thanks. It's always a pleasure for me to get a chance to talk to you.
Ilya, what significant directions is Microsoft taking, and what is the long-term strategic impact?
Well, Stephen, if you look at our history, we've always been somewhat unique in the industry in that our focus has consistently been people. When you look at some of the first earliest work that Microsoft did, our focus was in making people more productive in working with computers. Specifically, developers was our first product, which was BASIC for the Altair, and our developer language products after that. Of course, the next generation beyond that, we were really focused on making individuals more productive by the use of computers. So, for instance, the software that we put out helped people do the things they did every day more easily, such as writing letters, doing data analysis, and creating better presentations faster. In the last 10 years, we've really extended that focus from empowering the individual at their desktop to helping people work better together in teams and in connected organizations so that they can collaboratively drive the success of their business. Now, in the year 2000, we really introduced the notion of connected software with our .NET announcement. It was the idea that in the age of the Internet, developers and IT needed to pull applications together using web services to create composite applications that spanned various systems and platforms within organizations and also across the Internet. Now, this is really easier said than done. It's still quite challenging to connect disparate systems together. And even beyond that, extracting any kind of business insight from connected systems is also extremely difficult, but yet it's really important for business decision-making. There was a recent survey that I read in, I think it was Fortune magazine, that said 77% of senior business executives believed that their people had made poor business decisions within the last year. And so there's really a huge opportunity to help businesses make better business decisions and to help IT deliver the business insight necessary for that. And so that's really our focus today and over the next few years is how we can help people drive business success by helping people make better decisions more quickly. We believe companies thrive or die, frankly, based on not just the really big decisions that, you know, CEOs or CFOs make, like what company should we buy, but really the decisions that are made every day that really run the company. And so while it might sound like just common sense, we really think that truly enabling everyone across the company to make better business decisions faster is crucial and is quite a challenge today for IT. The better job that we can do of helping IT connect people to the information and processes that they need to make those daily decisions, the more we can help organizations thrive. So that's really going to be our focus on how we help IT empower the people in their organizations to drive business success.
Ilya, I know you've been very, very busy lately with the launch of a series of different kinds of products.
I've been traveling all over the world. I actually have had the good fortune to be in Vancouver recently for our launch there, in Calgary, but also in Hungary, Romania, Russia, Dallas, Chicago, and we'll be traveling to Washington, D.C. in the new year. So I really feel like I've got the good trip of the airports around the world, at least.
From a business solutions perspective, tell us more about the following new product releases: SQL Server 2005, Visual Studio 2005, and BizTalk Server 2006.
Sure, Stephen. Well, as I mentioned, we've been making a lot of investments in
helping IT to connect disparate systems. And these products are really a key milestone on our delivery for that promise of simplifying how developers and IT build, deploy, and manage connected systems. We've built these products with XML and web services deeply integrated in, so that these products in turn can be used to integrate systems, to capture information and process consistently, and to provide a consistent and familiar user experience. In terms of the specific individual products, we did this by adding a host of application adapters to BizTalk Server 2006, by adding deep and easy-to-use business analytics to SQL Server 2005, and by adding a lot of functionality into Visual Studio 2005 to enable developers to write significantly less code when building web applications, smart client applications, and web services. Now, just to get a little bit technical for a minute, I know you asked in terms of business solutions, but let me dive into the technology. From a technical standpoint, we focused on deep integration of these products across the products and with other Microsoft products such as Office and Windows Server 2003. Now, you could ask, why is that really valuable? Well, we think that a key delivery point for these products is consistency. A consistent and familiar experience drives greater productivity for developers and for IT folks operating systems. Developers need to see the same environment, want to be in the same environment, whether they're building web applications, smart client applications, web services, or even business intelligence analytics and reports. Administrators want to have one way of deploying and updating applications. And users want to have the same experience that they're used to in Microsoft Office, whether it's Word or Excel, regardless of whether they're working on their own local letters and documents and spreadsheets or accessing corporate data. And so if you believe, as we do, that it's people, the individuals, who gain insight, make decisions, take actions, then anything that we can do to reduce the overhead of gaining access to information is really critical. So consistency isn't really limited to just the user experience in terms of software solutions. It's important for software that all the folks listening to this are going to be building to be built on a consistent common infrastructure that's designed to work well together. And we think there's no other vendor in the industry that's working as hard as we are at integration and consistency. Unfortunately, when you look at most platform technologies today, most leave the what you would call last mile work up to consultants. Sort of cause you to say, you know, if you really want system integration, you have to hire system integrators. And that's okay, but it's sort of an approach that doesn't scale. There just aren't enough people in the world who understand how businesses work and how technologies work to take real business insight into the hands of every company. And so these three products, BizTalk Server 2006, SQL Server 2005, and Visual Studio 2005, make a huge step in the direction of enabling developers and IT folks to be more productive and to deliver these systems on their own without having to keep bringing in very expensive outside resources.
Can you provide case studies illustrating the real benefits of SQL Server, Visual Studio, and BizTalk?
Sure, Stephen. We're very, very fortunate to have had more customers be live in production at our launch of these products than any previous launch of previous versions of any of these products. We've had over 50 customers live on SQL Server 2005 in production when we launched. And so there's a wealth of what I think is really valuable case study information. And if any of the listeners are interested, I would point you to, at least for SQL Server, to microsoft.com/bigdata, all one word. And that has pointers to some of our key case studies. But, you know, let me talk about three specifically, three customers that I think are doing some pretty interesting things. Over in the UK and also New York, there's a company called Barclays Capital. They're a division of Barclays, which is a top global bank with 78,000 employees, 2,850 branches across 60 countries. And Barclays Capital is specifically the investment division of Barclays Bank. Barclays Capital themselves employ 8,300 staff in 22 locations around the world. And their core functionality, really what they run their business on, is their mission-critical fixed income trading application. So this is the app that handles their trading primarily of government bonds, and it really handles all the trades from simple to complex derivatives. Now, this app needed to be re-architected for higher performance and scale because of the growth of their business. And Barclays chose to upgrade from SQL Server 2000 to SQL Server 2005 to enable this re-architect work. They needed really high transactional throughput support. Their system needed to handle 200 inserted trades per second and over 6,000 retrieved trades per second, all with low latency, under 100 milliseconds per insert and under 15 milliseconds per retrieval, with basically 100% availability. Anytime this application is not available, increases risk tremendously for their company. So Barclays chose to adopt SQL Server 2005. They went live actually before our release to manufacturing, and they were able to achieve all of these performance gains. And by writing the new application in Visual Studio 2005, they also found a very significant reduction in code. Their managing director for IT specifically told me that now they're able to use the same developers, whether they're building front-end code, middle-tier business logic, or database code. And that's a huge productivity gain for them. Another company that I want to talk about is Mediterranean Shipping Company. It's a company that you may not know about, but it probably delivers at least some, if not most, of the goods you use in your house every day. They're actually the second largest container ship line in the world, and they're very reliant on their key core database application that tracks more than 15 billion transactions a year. Now, they have been very, very successful as of late. They've been enjoying annual growth of 30%. And so, obviously, with that growth comes an ever-increasing level of requests for data from their customers worldwide. So they wanted to build a solution that would both be their internal shipping management system and their external B2B portal for their customers. So they upgraded their database as well to Microsoft SQL Server 2005, running on Windows Server 2003 Enterprise Edition. And they found that that move has increased their agility to swiftly respond to customer demands by being able to introduce new code, helped them simplify their database administration, provided significantly faster query responses, and really given them a development platform that they think will help them be the leader in terms of the customer experience they provide in their industry. The last customer I wanted to mention is Xerox. Xerox, as you know, is a company that's been around for quite a while and has been a leader in technology in many different instances. Today, one of their key divisions is Xerox Office Services, and this is a division that helps their customers around the world manage the office equipment, software supplies, and services that their customers use. One of the key services Xerox provides for its customers is management of devices. Printers, copiers, faxes, the kind of things that companies have in large numbers all over the place, and it can be quite difficult to manage. So Xerox actually offers their customers the ability to optimize what they call these print fleets through proprietary software that they've built. And by doing that, Xerox Office Services believe that they can significantly reduce the total cost of printing for their customers. To make it even easier and more cost-effective for customers, Xerox developed the software as a centrally hosted web-based solution, and they did so using pre-release versions of Microsoft Visual Studio 2005, as well as Microsoft SQL Server 2005, actually 64-bit. And so they found that they've, again, you're going to hear these themes consistently, seen their developers become much more productive. Their code was delivered faster. The code actually became less complex. And on the database side, they've gotten better scalability, high performance, and of course, very high availability. These are just three case studies, but I think they illustrate the consistent themes that our customers are telling us. They are more productive, more secure, higher scale on these new products.
Ilya, which businesses are the best candidates for these new releases, and for what reasons?
Well, really, it's all organizations of all sizes who need to build and deliver connected systems faster who will find a lot of value in these new products. Talking about Visual Studio 2005 specifically, we've really expanded that offering from being a great development tool to being a great tool for the complete software lifecycle. In terms of developers, we, of course, deliver visual designers, the innovative programming languages people have come to love and know, and a very broad product line in terms of device development, web development, and smart client development. But we've also introduced something we call Visual Studio 2005 Team System. And this really provides tools tailored to specific parts of the software lifecycle. And so we now have addition of Visual Studio specifically for testers, one for architects. We include modeling tools, unit testing, load testing, and really help the whole development team communicate better together. And so our customers are pretty consistently finding that Visual Studio, especially with its deep integration with Windows Server, BizTalk Server, and SQL Server, enables them to deliver their solutions more quickly and cost-effectively than other solutions. We're hearing this from customers like Citigroup, one of the world's largest financial companies, number 8 in the Fortune 100, 200 million customers. They chose Visual Studio 2005, BizTalk Server 2006, and SQL Server 2005 for what they're calling their syndicated hub certificate management system, which routes and mediates digitally signed messages between customers and certification authorities. This is really a new business opportunity for Citigroup, and they're pretty excited about the revenue opportunity it creates. And actually one of their first major customers using this is Pfizer, another worldwide known name. So that's a very exciting project. Another customer seeing the same thing is HMV. They're the largest music retailer in the UK, and Stephen, you've seen their stores, I know, in Vancouver. They've got stores around across Canada as well. So they were keen to get into the digital music segment and build a digital offering, digital music subscription service. They chose again to use these three new products, and they were able to build an offering in record time. And in fact, they've had their service live since September, after having developed it in only really just a few months. And lastly, Siemens, I want to mention, they're a huge global manufacturer, number 21 on the Global 1000 list, 430,000 employees worldwide. Always amazes me that scale. They actually were looking to improve productivity of IT. You know, when you think about IT, all the processes that IT does, like when you get a new employee in the company, provisioning them with a laptop and a phone and email accounts and all that stuff, a lot of processes, often very manual. Siemens was able to automate all of those IT processes by creating some systems based on primarily BizTalk, but also using the other two products. And they created an IT services portal that now serves 35,000 internal customers, generates 30,000 requests per month, reduced their help desk calls by 20%. In fact, you know, they're so good at IT that along with Siemens's 30-some operating companies, they've also had over 15 other external companies now hire Siemens IT to provide IT services for them. So I think that area of connecting systems and driving faster results, if that is something your organization is interested in, these are great products for you. In addition, customers and partners have also told us that they need to extract business insight more broadly and deeply across their organization. And so SQL Server 2005 offers a very comprehensive business intelligence platform, especially with new integrated support for end-user reporting with our report builder functionality, as well as data analysis. And so especially when coupled with the business activity monitoring functionality in BizTalk Server, we really think this is a platform that organizations can take advantage of to provide greater insight into business information, as well as proactive real-time alerts and notifications of important changes to the business. And we're seeing customers do amazing things here, too. For instance, Barnes & Noble, the world's largest bookseller, 821 stores across the U.S. I don't think they have any stores in Canada, but certainly if you go to any of the U.S. cities, you'll see them. They wanted to really improve their business operations. And, you know, for them, competing with online book resellers, for instance, really means making the book business a local business. It means that when I walk into my local Barnes & Noble, they should be able to predict the kind of books that I'll want and have them on the shelf in stock ready for me. And so the key to that was to build a new data warehouse, end-to-end data warehouse, which they've done using Microsoft SQL Server, running on actually a huge, big 64-bit HP Superdome system. And so they're able to load their daily transactional information faster, generate reports to managers more quickly, and they really think they have a long-term solution that helps them build better relationships with their customers. Another household name using this platform for business insight is Hilton. They have over 400 hotels in 70 countries. And, you know, as you can imagine, in that business, they depend on their ability to forecast room occupancy and also actually catering and public space utilization. They're really dependent on that for their profitability. So they actually have a room catering and forecast management system. Their system was based on SQL Server 2000, and it did room occupation or occupancy forecasting. They wanted to expand the system to also forecast catering and public spaces like conference rooms. So to do that, they upgraded to SQL Server 2005. They now have a very large, very complex OLAP system, 400 users at any given time, 400 concurrent users. And so the system's built using SQL Server 2005, ASP.NET 2.0, and they're able to get, you know, 30% more forecast data done in the same amount of time. They estimate their developers are at least 25% more productive. Their reports are being generated faster. They basically get the insight they need faster and can deliver it to the business faster. The last customer I wanted to talk about in terms of business insight is Nestle. Nestle, I'm sure you've heard of, world's biggest food and beverage company, $70 billion in annual revenue. And so they've got two key projects that they're doing using these products. One is the application reporting framework for all their non-SAP data worldwide, the registration and content database on the back end of their customer-facing website. And again, the integration between Visual Studio 2005, BizTalk, and SQL Server 2005 proved to be not only a productivity improvement for them, a time saver, but also enabled them to use the integrated BI capabilities of SQL Server to deliver reporting and insight across their whole organization. The point, hopefully, is that these customer examples point out the kind of projects and the kind of business benefits that one can expect to see by using these products. And so we do think there's really broad applicability in terms of organizations who could benefit from these technologies.
How do you plan to engage business and IT leaders to get their feedback?
This has really been a key area for us, frankly. We looked at our whole development process and our customer relationship process and really tried to see how we can get closer to customers to integrate their feedback more real-time as we build these products. You know, the traditional approach in our industry has been talk to some customers and partners, get their feedback, go away, work for a few years, come back, deliver a product, and hopefully their needs are still the same as they were a couple of years ago when you started. And we really wanted to change that process. And so over the last few years, I think that we've really focused on embracing a culture of transparency and openness when it comes to our customers. Because frankly, it's a huge benefit for us. It gives us tremendous insight into how our best, most vocal users and corporate customers use our product and what they'll want us to deliver in terms of solutions. And so some of the ways we're doing that are through our employee blogs, through what we call the community technology preview process, where we deliver more frequent pre-release builds of our products in between the big beta releases. And also the feedback centers that we've made available online, where people can give us feedback on any part of the product. These are some of the ways we're able to engage in an ongoing dialogue with our customers and partners. And you're going to see that be integrated throughout the product. So today, if you go into help in one of our products, one of the things we do is we can update the help content online, and then any piece of help you can actually give us feedback on. You'll see there's a little button that says, did this answer your question, yes or no, and then provide feedback. Based on the feedback that we get, we can update the content in real time, and so we can have that ongoing virtuous cycle of improvement. And so you're going to see us build that feedback platform in pretty deeply across all of our products. The end result for us is that we think we were able to launch three very high-quality products that were built with a tremendous amount of input from our customers. And the products just would not have been as compelling without the participation of the folks listening to this call, of the folks reading your many articles, of all the people who helped us. And we're very, very thankful for that.
So it sounds like you're really engaged in a collaborative cycle with analysts, consultants, customers, the press, really the whole community, and it's a real sort of change for Microsoft to really embrace in a big way the global community in a sort of a constant dialogue.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment. It's really what we think we need to do as a leader in our industry, and it really, frankly, just helps us be a much, much better company. Again, when I look at our products specifically, the products are just so much better because of the engagement that we've had, the CTP process, the early adopter customers, the folks that have given us feedback. It really just helps us deliver much higher quality products. It's a new way of building software, but one that I think will be better both for the people who build software and for the people who use it.
Ilya, you've got this great sort of foothold in terms of the marketplace, and you've been a great predictor of trends. So for the future, which technology trends do you find will have the greatest impact?
It's an interesting question. There are always several key trends driving our industry. The web services technology, the idea that the internet is not just a browsing platform, but really an application platform, that is not even close to coming to full fruition. We are just starting to see the realization of that dream. And so I think as that matures, that's going to really enable some exciting new scenarios. Now, of course, Moore's Law, we've had that working for us for decades, and that has created a situation where we now have an unprecedented amount of computing power, not in the data center, but on the edge of the network. And so that enables some pretty amazing new peer-to-peer application scenarios. And actually, as Moore's Law works on devices, we're now seeing mobile devices become extremely powerful, really true handheld computers. And as the connectivity trend improves, we're seeing these devices truly be always connected. And so mobile application development is a very exciting place to be. Our goal in my division at Microsoft specifically is to offer an application platform that enables developers, IT folks, and businesses to take advantage of these trends so that they can in turn deliver more value for their organizations. And that's really just a matter of making them more productive to help them reduce costs and increase efficiency, and helping enable faster delivery of solutions. So that's a trend that is not anywhere close to done. We know where we need to go, where our customers want us to go. So even as we're launching these three new products, We're already laying the groundwork for making it as simple to handle business process and information as it is to post a page to a website today. These kinds of trends are why I think it's really just a great time to be in the industry, to be an IT pro or developer or DBA.
Ilya, what can you tell us about Microsoft's strategies for Live Windows, Office Live, and software as a service?
Sure. I think you're probably familiar with some of the news that's been in the industry recently with the memo from one of our chief technology officers, Ray Ozzie, about the need for software to evolve into software as a service platform. And so the first couple of announcements we've made around that are Windows Live and Office Live. The goal there is really to enable two things, a different kind of user experience for people using software, an experience that helps them have consistency wherever they are. So you should have just little things, for instance. When you think about when you're at your computer has the experience that you set up, all of your favorites. You know, you go to another computer, you don't have that. Well, why is that? Why shouldn't you be able to take your user experience with you wherever you are? Why shouldn't you be able to have all of your contacts and all the people you normally communicate with at your fingertips, regardless of what computer you're using? That's the kind of thing that Windows Live is meant to enable. And Office Live is very similar. It's how can we use the Internet as it evolves into an application platform? How can we enrich that to provide a better experience for users? And at the same time, to create a richer application platform for developers who want to build applications that also use the Internet as a platform. And so it's really an initiative from us to extend software over the Internet for better user experiences in the broader application platform. And I think it's an area that you're going to see a lot of exciting innovation in. You're going to hear a lot from us about. And in fact, one thing I would point your listeners and readers to is if they are web developers or web designers or focus on consumer web development, there's going to be a conference that we're doing. It's the first of a new series of conferences that's called MIX. We're going to be doing this conference called MIX 06 in the March timeframe in Las Vegas. And we really are thinking about it as a 72-hour conversation where people who are thinking about the next generation of web can come together, share ideas, gain insight, and think about the technology trends that are going to drive the next generation of software on the web. And so if your readers and listeners are interested, I would encourage them to look into MIX 06. I believe it's www.mix06.com, but you can easily just do an MSN search for MIX 06. And so I'd encourage you to look into that and come to the conference and be part of the 72-hour conversation with us to help shape that strategy moving forward.
That almost sounds like the next generation of the Internet and this whole concept of social networking and social media. And you've seen some recent sort of rises of companies like Flickr and so forth who have done quite well. Is this in the same context?
You know, there are a lot of concepts going around today, social networking, and a lot of companies doing some very innovative work on the Internet in terms of saying, hey, how far can we extend sort of the user experience when we use the Internet as an always-connected global platform? And so I wouldn't want to pigeonhole the evolution of the Internet into just sort of one area, whether it's social networking or anything else. But I would say it's the idea of what are the kind of scenarios that we can really drive for users when we extend software across the Internet, when we think of software as being able to be continually updated in real time, when we think of software as not a package set of bits that is delivered, but as a service that one uses in real time. And, you know, as you see people using software more and more that way, of course, internet search is a great example, online retailing is a great example. People are using software, but they perceive it as simply a service that they utilize. We're going to see a lot of fascinating new scenarios, and I think what you're seeing from us is our desire to extend the Windows and Office experience that way for the new generation of software on the internet, and also, frankly, to engage in the conversation with some of the companies doing some of this innovative work and some of the developers who are going to be taking the web to the next generation. And that's why we have the Mixed conference that we have coming up.
You know, I see some really startling claims from analysts and in the marketplace where they're suggesting that in a relatively short period of time, even all enterprise applications are going to be offered as a service. What are your opinions on that?
Yeah, I've seen some of that too. I think, you know, if you're an analyst, and these are extremely bright people, so I take nothing away from them. But if you're an analyst, you're paid to push thinking, you know, push the envelope of thinking. You want to write articles with grabby headlines that are going to get people to buy the article. And so when I see articles that say things like the database is dead or 90% of corporate IT is going to be gone in 5 years, I always take that with a grain of salt. I don't think enterprise software shifts happen as quickly. There's always that great quote of, you know, we always overestimate the change that will happen in the next 5 years, but underestimate the change that will happen in 10 years. So I think analysts are in the business of pushing the thought envelope and writing articles that are controversial, that prompt different ways of thinking. I just saw an article by an analyst that said, you know, Microsoft is going to port SQL Server to Linux point something probability within the next couple of years, and I can tell you for a fact that we're not doing that. There's no development work on porting SQL Server to Linux, and so even if we were to start today, which we're not, it certainly wouldn't happen in the time frame the analyst is predicting. So, you know, I read those things and I take them as interesting fodder, interesting food for thought, but I don't take them as really true predictions, because I don't think that's what they're meant to be. Yeah, I think, you know, I think what it is for you and me and others who've been in the industry a long time, it's sort of the voice of experience. I remember, you know, when I started at Microsoft in 94, for a while there, the big thing was the network computer. I don't know if you remember that, but basically, for a short while, laptops, PCs, all that was going to go away, and computers would once again be these terminals that plug in. And there were analysts predicting 99% of computers, I'm probably exaggerating, but something like that would become network computers. And we didn't see that materialize. There were so many trends, if you think through the 90s, you know, push content. I don't know if you remember Pointcast, and push was going to be the big thing. That was going to take over the internet, and that didn't happen. Now, are you seeing some of those things be built into technology moving forward? Absolutely. But are you seeing sort of these instant, very quick, very disruptive shifts? No, that's not how corporate computing works. The change that we do drive is very significant and very quick as compared to any other industry. But this idea of, hey, all enterprise software is going to become a service overnight, well, when you look at that in the database industry, for instance, the customers I've talked about who have multi-terabyte, tens of terabytes of data, I don't think there's a reasonable conversation to be had with them today that said, hey, we want to moved your terabytes and terabytes of data off into the cloud and provide them to you as a service. That's not a reasonable conversation to be had. So I think you have to think about the things that are going to drive change, but you also do have to be measured and realistic in your thinking of how corporate customers are going to be using these technologies.
But that said, I do think in the consumer space, in terms of the consumer experience, the ability to have a closer relationship with customers in the consumer web space, you are going to see, I think, tremendous opportunity for change on the web in the next couple of years.
Okay, Ilya, let's ask a few fun questions, if you don't mind. What's
sure.
your favorite passion right now?
My favorite passion right now, let's see. It's always hard to think about these things in a broader way, right? I always think about the last thing I did. So just in the last few days, I upgraded my TV to a high-definition TV. I'm kind of a gadget nut. I'm a gadget guy in terms of I always buy the latest and greatest and probably pay too much for it. And so I'm pretty into HD TV right now. Watching movies in HD makes DVDs seem like, you know, VHS tapes of yesterday. Just a pretty amazing home theater experience you can get with HD TV and a, you know, a digital surround system. It's just pretty incredible. And at the same time as I did that, I was lucky enough to get an Xbox 360, and so I've hooked it up to my new HD TV and have been trying that out, and that's been pretty amazing too. The ability to share media, just like, yeah, it's a fantastic game platform, and the games that you have for it are just incredible. But I actually was just as interested for it as a media platform as I was as a game platform. And so, you know, last night I was able to get it working that it will take all of the pictures and music off my PC and show it on the big HD screen. And that's just this great experience. You know, go into your Xbox, see all of your music there, create custom playlists, play the music. Kind of makes you wonder how much longer the CD is going to be a truly, you know, viable medium. If you can get music digitally and have it be available on your big stereo all via something like the Xbox 360, it's kind of an amazing experience. So I've been spending a lot of hours playing with that. That's a passion of mine, at least recently. So that's one answer to your question anyway.
Okay, let's sort of move that a little bit towards work. What's your favorite work-related gadget?
Favorite work-related gadget. That's interesting. What have I gotten recently at work? This can sound boring, but it actually has made a tremendous difference for me. I bought a big LCD monitor. Was Dell did a special deal, so I got a 24-inch widescreen LCD monitor at work. It can actually work as an HDTV too, but it just changes your work experience so much to have this monitor where you can, you know, have your email in one corner and your documents in another corner. And, you know, more and more I see people who are working with two monitors, and that experience of sort of extending your desktop around you onto a broader surface has been kind of a lifestyle changer at work. So I'd certainly put that up as one. The other probably is my Windows Mobile powered smartphone. It's just such a cool experience to everything from little things like used to be anytime I got a new cell phone, you'd have to set aside the hour or however long it takes to retype your whole address book in. And knowing that I will never have to do that again because my smartphones are going to get my address book from Outlook, that's fantastic. But then beyond that, knowing that I have this little device where I can keep up to date on email, my calendar, where I can do things like go into Internet Explorer and quickly get to a page that shows me all the movies that are playing in theaters around where I am, that's also kind of a game changer. I mean, it's that ability to always be connected to work and keep up to date, which on one hand might sound awful because it sounds like you're a slave to work, but it actually helps because I can use some spare time I have if I'm, say, in a taxi or sitting somewhere waiting to go onto my phone and, for instance, clean out my email, you know, get rid of messages that I know right away I don't need so that when I get back to my desktop, I have just the email I need to look at. So that's been a big a big favorite gadget of mine, I'd say.
Well, Ilya, it's been a real pleasure having you here today, and thank you for talking with us and for your many insightful comments. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Sure, Stephen. It's also been my pleasure. I'd love to do it again, and I just want to finish up by, on behalf of myself and really everyone at Microsoft who's worked on the development of the three products we just launched, I want to finish up by thanking everyone who helped us, everyone who downloaded a beta or a CTP or submitted a bug or suggestion or attended one of our events, just everyone who engaged with us to make these products better. Thank you so much for your time, your work, your passion, and your contributions. We couldn't have done it without you.